Folks, I am really excited to talk about our newest sponsor for the coaching staff, Ruiz Auto Services and Exhaust, also All-American Used Cars and Trucks. Two really, really good businesses. I'm going to start with Ruiz Auto Services and Exhaust. You know, it's hard to find a good mechanic. It's hard to find somebody that you trust. And, you know, long before this situation came about, we had been taking our cars to Ruiz for a year and a half, and they've done great work. They're honest, they're upfront, they can do everything. They, you know, take care of your motor, take care of your brakes, tires, oil, so simple stuff like oil changes, brake pads, mufflers, whatever you may need, Ruiz Auto Services and Exhaust are going to take care of it for you. If you are in the Omaha area and you are looking for a quality, reasonably priced, customer-friendly situation, you're not going to regret giving Ruiz Auto Services and Exhaust a chance here. They are located at 4839 North 90th Street, Omaha, Nebraska, 68134. You could give Esmeralda a call up there. Her number is 402-317-2572. And they'll get you taken care of. I'm saying this as a customer. We literally do not bring our cars anywhere other than Ruiz Auto Service and Exhaust for anything that we do from this point for the last year or two. So again, another business here, All American Used Cars or Trucks. If you're in the market for a used car or truck, go check out Juan Carlos's business there. 144th and I-80, 14706 Schooner Road here in Omaha. Go check it out here. If you're looking to exchange a car, buy, sell, trade, whatever it may be, you're going to get an honest deal from honest people. So go check out Ruiz Auto Service and Exhaust and All American Used Cars and Trucks. Good afternoon, good evening. My name is Marty Plum, and I am your host of a Pen and a Napkin Podcast, a weekly coaching clinic you can carry around with you in your pocket. Welcome back to the coaching staff, episode number 106. And on the other line is Mr. Tony De... Whoa. It is not Mr. Tony DeVis. It is a blast from a past, a guy that is raising young kids. And apparently, you know, with coaching and children and being married, he is unable to be on a pen and a napkin as much as he used to. But he is back as a pinch hitter this week for my man, Mr. Tony DeVis. It is Mr. Casey Hall out of Millard West High School in Omaha, Nebraska. Mr. Hall, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, Marty. Glad to be back on.
Glad. Here is the first thing that I thought of when Casey said he would pinch hit this week. Here it is. I actually texted that to Casey.
I saw that. I got it last night and I was chuckling. That's for sure. My kids and my wife are looking at me like, what are you laughing about?
just tell Ashley. That's Marty. Marty. It's just Marty. So no, it has been way too long. Obviously, Casey is, you know, like I say, he's got a lot of irons in the fire, and Tony is unable to be on this week. He's got a bunch of stuff going on. The biggest thing is parent teacher conferences. And so he's just really slammed. And, So Casey, I said, hey, you know, I need you to come in out of the bullpen here. I need you to be a little Lee Smith, a little Mitch Williams, a little Rod Beck, the shooter, coming out of the bullpen and helping us out here. So, Coach, thanks so much for helping out. So,
yeah, no problem. It's great to be back on.
Awesome. So, hey, we're going to keep pretty much the same format here. And we, of course, start with our uniform numbers, episode number 106. We are rolling around to the number six. I've got about six basketball players, but I tell you what, Casey, I found three baseball players with the number six. Quite impressive. Stan the Man Musial, which even us as Cubs fans can respect Stan the Man as a Cardinal. Yeah. Al Kaline and Steve Garvey all wore the uniform number 6 for their careers. So I thought that was good, but I've got 6 basketball players that wore the uniform number 6 at least for most of their, almost all of them except for one wore it for most of their, or all their career, and then one wore it for about half of his career here. So that kind of gives it away a little bit here. So what do you got for me, Coach?
Let's see. LeBron.
Yep.
He wore 6.
Yep.
Dr. J.
The Dr. Julius Irving. Yes, that is correct.
Oh, now I'm stumped.
So one is an all-time legend, and the 3 other guys, that they would be pretty tough to get. I will get that. But one is a legend. How can I give it away how can I give you a hint without giving it away? He's just a winner. That's the biggest thing I say, just a winner.
Gosh.
His career was over before we were born. He's just a winner.
God, I can't think of it.
Bill Russell.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have got that one.
Okay.
Not off the top of my head anyway.
Okay. And the 3 other guys, it'd be pretty tough. Walter Davis played with the Phoenix Suns a lot of his career. A guy that he played when we were in high school and college, Eddie Jones, was at Temple, yeah. Played for the Lakers. And yep. Then this guy is still collecting paychecks. DeAndre Jordan wore number 6 for the majority of his career. Of course, most famously with the Phoenix Suns. Or Phoenix Suns. I'm sorry, I was thinking of Walter Davis still. Los Angeles Clippers is where he made his hay. So
I do have a baseball one that's kind of, it's a Cubs guy, but
okay. Let's see here. Number 6, Chicago Cub.
He was there in 2 different stints. He wasn't like, he kind of was a journeyman a little bit.
Mark Grudzelwanek.
I didn't have him. I had Glenn Allen Hill.
Oh, Glenn Allen Hill, who hit the longest home run other than Will Clark in Chicago, or in Wrigley Field history.
Field history.
Yes. Hit it on the rooftop. So
yes, that was a bomb.
That was a bomb. So we are going to dive right into it here. Casey and I were trying to figure out what we're going to talk about. And I mean, I was hemming and hawing and like, okay, what would be good? What would, you know, and then it kind of popped into my head. And this topic would be for teams, for coaches that are coming off of success. Casey is a defending state champion, as Coach Kruger's top assistant there with the Wildcats of Millard West. They won the Class A championship here in Nebraska in 2024. They got a lot of kids, you know, lost a couple of important players without a doubt, but they've got 3 really, really good players coming back and a really good team coming back. And so I thought it would be great, whether you're a longtime coach, whether you're a team that's coming off of success, whatever the scenario may be, how do you stay motivated? If you're somebody that hasn't had success yet, but you feel like you're on the brink of success, you need to think about what it's like to be successful and how you're going to stay motivated as you move down the line there. And I know that I'm sure you and Kruger have done a great job with that, Casey. And I thought it would be a great topic to kind of pick your guys' brains about, your brain about, and talk about what you've done since the end of the season last year. And here in a few weeks, you're going to get cranked up with practice here. I know you're doing workouts and morning stuff right now. And so kind of just wanted to go into that process. And that's the direction we want to go in here tonight. So, Case, I'll kind of let you lead off here. You are my guest. I will let you dine first here with kind of the first bullet point. I've got 6 or 7 things. Oh, I got 7 things written down here that when I've had successful teams, what we would do or what we would look to do coming back the next year to stay hungry, to stay motivated. But I'll let you get the party started here, my friend.
All right. And we've had, and Kruger and I have talked about this a lot, just ourselves, like, how do we handle this? Because I've never been in this situation before. As a coach, I was as a player, a football player back in the day, but, and I don't know if he ever has. I know he hasn't as a coach, and he hasn't, I don't think he has as a player, but like just trying to find a way, what's the best way to keep the momentum going? Like you said, we do have three pretty good players coming back. That's always a key.
Yeah.
We've kind of put that, a lot of it on them, on now being more of the vocal leaders since they're seniors and junior. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big thing, is you've got to start rebuilding it, especially with us having a young core coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Only having five seniors, one junior, and then the rest are sophomores and freshmen.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is just trying to get our philosophy offensively and defensively, through us to the older girls, to the younger girls, so they understand what's going on,
mm-hmm.
And how we want to play offensively and defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that can be a little tough at times, trying to get girls to do that because they've never played kind of how we play a little bit.
Yeah.
And we don't play drastically out of sorts. I mean, it's kind of like, to me, it kind of feels like we kind of play like a college team, or like we try to play like the Creighton women do.
Yeah.
Lots of spacing, lots of screens, lots of movement, and just trying to get that built into the younger girls' head is something we've really tried to work on.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of them like to dribble the ball a lot, and yeah, we're like, let's move the ball, let's pass, let's screen, let's cut. So that's been one of our biggest things, I think, this summer and fall, is trying to get that pounded in their head a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably our biggest thing that we're working on, as a group, to do.
Yeah.
But leading into that, like, I think a lot of it comes into those top three girls, building that relationship with those younger girls. I think that's very key. And I think I've seen it. Those girls have kind of taken a little bit more of a leadership role this year. Not that they haven't in the past, because they've all played two or three years of varsity minutes, but them taking a little more of that leadership role and kind of being that forceful voice on the floor when we aren't there, we can't coach.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. So I think that's really what we're trying to get done with those older three.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done a really good job, I feel. They've all grown up a lot. And I don't think it was like they had to grow up a certain way or whatever. They've grown up basketball wise and they are very humble.
Yeah.
Or like, for as good as those three are, getting potential D1 players, they're very humble and they have a great relationship with the girls. And now it's kind of being that leader on the floor is what we really want them to be.
Mm-hmm. I wrote down, Casey, one of the things I wrote down is raising the bar when it's appropriate. And underneath that, one of the things sub bullet points or whatever was to individually challenge players. So that was actually on my list there. And like you said, you really have to know your kids. You know, you may have a kid who is naturally really, really quiet. And so it's really hard to really have them change that personality just because they're a year older. But maybe you say, hey, you don't necessarily have to bring your voice up around the team, but hey, I really want you to mentor Mary, the sophomore that's going to be playing some varsity this year for us. You know, really try to reach out to her and create a solid relationship with her and let her know that you're there for her or different things like that. But I like that concept of the individual, again, raising that bar. And you got to read your team. You got to know what you have. You're, like you said, you're in a situation where you have two kids that are going to Creighton next year, another gal that's getting Division I looks as a junior. And so you want to raise that union, and there's certain probably challenges that you've done in workouts. You know, maybe last year it was make 20 shots in this amount of time. Well, this year, hey, you guys got to get 23 in this amount of time, just to make that concentration level a little bit higher. Have you done things like that, Casey, in that regard?
We put pressure situations on them, and we always have time. Like when they're doing workouts, they kind of know what the standard is, what we have when they do pre-warm, like when they warm up for fall stuff.
Yeah.
And like in summer, like we told them in the summer when we could have our 4 weeks or whatever of practice and coaches could talk to them and do that stuff. Like we set all those standards and we say like, this should be done in this amount of time. Like we need our perfection drill, which we do. It's like two person passing. We do a Laker drill. We have to make 12 layups in a row. And sometimes we bump that up to 15.
Yeah.
To say, hey, we need those in a row. Like it's 3-on-0. We should make those with no problem. And then we go to our sideline shooting. We have to make those and so much. We have to make 21 layups, 20 or 21 free throws or elbow jumpers or mid-range, and then 21 threes.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be 10 minutes on the clock to get all three of those done. And sometimes we'd lower it and say, all right, each time we beat this time, we're going to lower it by whatever, 15 seconds.
Sure.
Those are things that we've talked about and trying to just be better. And it's not rushing your shot, trying to do it any faster. Just do it more with more smoothness.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yep. It was just fluid going up and down the floor, doing those little things right. And it all starts with, I mean, making good passes, catching the ball, getting the shooter in the right spot. But those are some of the things we talk about over the summer and through the fall, is making sure, like, try to be perfect, but we know you aren't going to be
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Yeah. Another thing, and I know you guys have done this as well, is you've raised the bar when it comes to your schedule as well. Wow. Because, you know, again, you're blessed right now with a really good group of players. And so, you know, here you are, you know, you're going out and challenging your schedule, because you're going to need that challenge as you move through the season. And I know that's why you and Kruger kind of scheduled a couple of things, you know, kind of tell people what you guys have planned, what you've done differently with your schedule this year as opposed to last year.
Yeah. Our schedule is tough compared. I mean, not that the Metro isn't tough. I mean, we start out the year with Millard North, Bellevue East, West Side, Omaha North, our first four games, which are four pretty solid teams. And then after that, we go to Des Moines to the Johnston Holiday Classic, and we play, I want to say Prairie Valley, but I could be wrong off the top of my head. No,
yeah. Pleasant Valley,
who was in the state tournament for Class A, or for Iowa last year, uh-huh. In 5A. They return two girls that are 6'3", excuse me, and they're going to be a solid battle for us there to start the year before we start Metro Tournament. And then in January, we're going to Kearney to the Nebraska Preps Classic, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
And playing a team from Colorado that was the 4A state champs there, Riverdale Ridge. And they've got a girl that's 6'3", but is a guard.
Yeah.
And averaged 28 and 16.
Yeah.
And she's got a lot of offers going out, and I believe she's a junior. So we've added some of those. We've got asked to go to some of those tournaments, which is great. And that comes with the grounds of doing what we did last year and the last couple of years and building the program.
Yep.
It doesn't get any easier, but it also will make us better as the year goes on. Mm-hmm. Playing that type of competition, different competition that we don't see all the time around here, especially with the size. I mean, there's some taller girls in the Metro, but there's not many that are 6'3", 6'2".
Not 6'3" guards that are fly.
No. So it'll be fun. It'll be interesting. Like we've told the girl, like the Billie Jean King quote is, pressure is a privilege. Like, we put ourselves in this spot. Now we've got to go out and prove that we can still compete and do the same thing that we've done in the past. Uh-huh.
Folks, if you are looking for a good book, guess what? I have got something for you. Kings of Their Court, 3 teams, 1 city, and the greatest basketball season in Nebraska high school history is available today on Amazon.com. It is the story of Tim Cannon at Millard North, Josh Ludke at Creighton Prep, and Doug Woodard at Bellevue West, and the 3 teams that they had during the 2021 season, the chaos that everybody was living through. The story literally picks up with the outbreak of COVID in March of 2020, and it carries through for the next 365 days. Everything that these players, these parents, these coaches that they went through, from COVID quarantines to George Floyd to the politics of the time to just trying to get the season in a somewhat normal fashion, with these 3 teams from this one city that were ranked in the top 25 in the country. Now think about that. That would be hard to do in a New York and a Los Angeles. We had that here in Omaha, Nebraska. It is a terrific, terrific book. Of course, I'm a little biased because I'm the one that wrote it, but I think that if you're a basketball person, or if you like a good sports story, a very amateurish version of Friday Night Lights for basketball, this is the type of story that you're really, really going to enjoy. So go to Amazon.com, go to books, type in Kings of Their Court, and it's going to take you right there to it. It's $19.99 for the paperback, $9.99 for the Kindle version. Folks, check it out. I think it's a really, really great story, and I don't think you're going to regret picking up a copy of Kings of Their Court. How much, I think one of the keys with quote-unquote staying motivated is, it's such a fine balance, Casey, because you guys, you know, the kids have worked all their lives to win that championship last year. You and Kruger have worked all your lives in your coaching lives of getting to that point. And you want to enjoy it. You want to embrace it. You want to hold it for everything that it's worth. But you also can't live in the past. And you've got to move forward from that. How much have you guys talked about, you know, putting last year behind you? When was the point where it was like, okay, that's done, that was over with, that was awesome, loved it, it was terrific, but let's stay hungry, let's do it again. That's what greatness is, and all those motivational quotes that you think, because I think one of the keys is you got to keep that focus forward. Now, at the same time, you don't want to be, you know, cold-hearted about it. Okay, enjoy it for 2 days and then let's move on, you know, type of a deal. That's the art of coaching right there. And so how have you and Kruger tried to address that?
I think it kind of started, this summer when we started summer stuff. And we really haven't talked about it a ton because we're just like, all right, everybody knows it's a new group of girls. Yes, we return some players that played, that led the team, but it's time for other kids to step up. And I think we saw that this summer. We went down to Kansas City and played in a tournament down there and played 3 high level teams out of the Kansas City, out of the Missouri area. Mm-hmm. And I think we're just, for the younger girls, it was more just go out and play. Mm-hmm. Don't overthink it. Play together. Work together, but it wasn't really like, all right, let's turn the page, let's forget about it, because it's always going to be on the back of their mind. It's going to be in their head. It's more of, we've got to do our things correct. If we do if the girls do what we ask them to do on the floor, we're gonna be in a game. We're gonna compete. We're gonna be in the right spot to put us in the situation to win a game.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of it, and throwing in a lot of younger girls during the summer, they've shown a lot of good things. I don't think they ever. Maybe the first few times they stepped on the floor, they were kind of wide eyed and scared. But as soon as they got started playing, it was kind of like, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's play.
Yeah.
But we haven't really got into the, like, let's forget about it. Let's not talk about it. Mm-hmm. I think everyone kind of knows, but it's something we don't talk about. Like, we know it's a new season. Mm-hmm. We know we got to start from new with some things, and try to build off that each day. And it's a day by day process.
Yep.
One day it may not be great because we're throwing different people in there, but the next day or 15 minutes later in practice, what we're doing, like, all right, she's figured it out. Can she continue to do it? That's the big thing.
Yep. Yep. What else have you guys done, Casey?
I think a lot, I mean, like I said, I think a lot of it is just trying to get those younger girls comfortable, or girls that haven't played a lot of varsity time comfortable. We do a lot of, when we play pickup or open gyms on weekends and league, it's kind of mixing up the team. So everyone kind of gets used to each other,
mm-hmm.
Kind of knows how each other plays. If someone's more of a shooter, someone can get downhill, trying to figure out where each person fits better.
Mm-hmm.
Like we've seen in league on Sundays, it's kind of like we're sitting there watching and we're like, all right, marking this down. This is something we need to really pound when we get to November for practice. This is something we can kind of go over, but we don't need to work it as hard.
Yeah.
And kind of the big thing is just getting everybody on the same page and where they want to go. I mean, everybody plays summer basketball and everyone plays different, mm-hmm. compared to what, I don't know, I want to say different, but they may play a little different than what we do.
Yeah.
So it's kind of trying to get that out of their head. And I think whatever AAU team, whatever their AAU team does, like, I think it's great for what they do. It's just kind of different what we do. So it's kind of then trying to turn it our way.
Yeah.
So they kind of get more of how we want to play.
Are you talking about like just their roles or?
I think their roles, and some teams like to do a lot of dribble drive,
yeah.
or dribble weave stuff, or play through a post. And we don't really play through a post a ton. Not getting in the dribble weave. And like I said earlier, not dribbling the ball so much.
Mm-hmm.
Move, set screens, cut with a purpose, doing all those things. I think it's more that. I think the roles will come as we go and who's on the floor. Because like I said, we can't really sit there and tell them what their role is yet because we don't really know where everyone's going to fit.
Yeah, yeah.
But we've talked to over the summer, it's like, hey, you need to be able to do this, and this is what we want you to do when you're in a game situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think one of, you know, sometimes, and you guys are still in a situation where, you know, you really, when it came to a really competitive game, you really only played six kids last year, maybe six and a half. Yeah. And you've got your top three scorers back. So your roles are, it's a little bit easier for those younger kids to fall in line because of that. However, you do, and I think this is something that it's just a fine balancing act. And it's the old Pat Riley, the disease of more, the disease of me. And, you know, you can... You know, last year it was all about the climb for the Wildcats. You know, I'm going to put my personal wants and desires. I'm willing to do that because I just want that. I just want that state championship gold medal around my neck. And now we've got that.
And yeah, I want another one, but man, I'd like to be I'd like to have this go maybe a little bit differently or that. And you know, it's the old Pat Riley thing. That's why it's so hard to repeat unless you've got somebody like a Jordan or you know, Hakeem Olajuwon, Steph Curry and Kevin Durant teaming up, that type of a deal. And so I think that's another thing that, and sometimes that is not fed from even the players. Sometimes it's mom or dad saying, you know, hey, last year you only got 5 shots a game. This year you should get 7 or 8 shots a game because of this and this and this. And you know, I've had, you know, you have the significant others in their life, their friends, their boyfriends or girlfriends, depending on what gender you're coaching. All those different things can interfere with everything that you're trying to build, that cohesion and them desiring that disease of me or the disease of more. I think that's something that anybody who's coming off of success has to have a little bit of their antenna up, keep an eye out for that. I mean, I know that was something I worried about as well. What do you think, buddy?
I mean, I think that can be some of it. Like I said, the three that are returning that played a ton, they are very humble girls. Mm-hmm. They do a great job of not trying to make about me. Mm-hmm. And they know they're going to get their shots or they're going to get the ball when they need to. But I think the other, like the next 5 or 6, whatever we play, just have to know their role, know what to do. And in the end, it's even for the three that return and the next 5 or 6 that play, it's kind of don't do too much. Work together. If you're open, yes, take the shot. Mm-hmm. You can't hesitate, but then also don't be shooting just because you want to shoot.
Yeah.
Or just because I haven't got one off.
Yeah.
I don't, from what I've seen anyway, so far this summer and fall, like I don't feel like girls feel that way yet.
Yeah.
But I mean, that could transpire as the year goes on, as someone loses minutes or someone else gets more minutes. You never know how that's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope, and as a coaching staff, I think when we have our player meetings there in end of November or whatever, before we get ready to play games, I think we'll talk about where we see this person at, what they need to do, what their role is. And we've done some of that over the summer, but I think it'll kind of hit more when we get to real game time.
Mm-hmm.
Just to clarify everything for everybody. And we're never going to say, don't shoot, don't dribble, don't do that. Don't defer to somebody else, because it takes 5 of you to play.
Yep.
And they all have to 5 move together, work together offensively and defensively to be the best we can be.
Yep. Yep. I got like, 2 more big things here, Casey. Not sure what you got, but it's your turn. What else you got, buddy?
I mean, like I think I've said a lot of it is, and I don't want to go into too much because I don't know, like Kruger's the man in charge. I got to follow the shoes and follow the lead and go off what he says. But I mean, we've talked, we've made checklists. I think that's the big thing is for teams that are coming back. If you're returning multiple starters or if you're starting new, you've got to set roles and boundaries for your team early. Early in the season, so you kind of get there. Now, injuries happen, someone gets sick, yeah. Things, roles may change, but you've got to make sure you set those boundaries early for each kid, but you can't keep them as a closed book either, because somebody may show you something more as the season goes on.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen with every team. It doesn't matter if they're young or older.
Yep. Yeah, I think... And this is easy to say, and it's hard to do. And sometimes this is harder when you have a team like yours or any other team that's coming off of a successful season, is to keep the focus on the process. You know, the old Nick Saban, keep the focus on the process. Hey, I know
And I would guess, Casey, if and again, we're using your team as the example here, but you know, there's thousands of other teams that are in a situation where they've had success, they're looking to maintain or build upon success. But it, like in your situation, you won state championship, you've got a very good team coming back, you've got a great opportunity to be back in the state tournament again next year or this coming season. But in order to get there and do what you want to do ultimately at the end, guess what, girls? On November 15th, we've got to have a great practice that day. And that's where that process starts from. And we can't worry about March 10th. We've got to worry about November 15th. And we don't get to March 10th unless November 15th happens the way that it needs to happen. And so keeping that eye, you know, I always, you know, not the biggest Nick Saban fan in the world, but I do so tremendously appreciate and respect year in and year out, he kept those teams motivated. He kept them on edge. He worried about just the next step. It was the next thing, the next step. It was, you know, the Belichick type of thing. And just focusing on that process, I think is so very important.
Yeah. And I mean, another thing, I think the biggest thing is reminding that you always have to play hard.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, the older girls, we tell that too. You got to play hard. Like, I don't care if we're playing pickup ball against each other or not. Like, you're not going to get any better, or you're not going to make the other girls better if you're not playing hard from start to finish. Mm-hmm. And doing the things right so everyone sees it. Mm-hmm. Because if you, it's one day at a time. There might be a day where somebody's not doing things correctly and players, coaches may get frustrated. But the only way you're going to correct them, and you might have to get on them a little bit, is tell them, hey, you got to do it right this time. And they may get mad at you or emotional with you. But like, if you tell them now, one day, the next day, they'll hopefully figure it out and then you're ready to go.
Yep.
And just got to keep getting better one day at a time. Because if you try to put all your eggs in the basket, like you said, November, when we start practice, like, it's a brand new day. It's a brand new season. Mm-hmm. We're playing to get to March. We're not playing just to win game number one, which we want to do.
Yep.
But you've got to, it starts with day one of practice and then leads up to game one and then practice to game two and stuff like that. Like, can't overlook anybody because everyone's got your number.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. You are now the red letter date on everybody's schedule.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. Casey, I've got one more thing. I don't know what you got. What do you got?
I don't have anything else off that from so far.
Okay. The only thing, and kind of like it, along with enjoying the focusing on the process, I also think that enjoy the journey. You know, for the twins, obviously they're seniors. It's going to be their last go around. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy, like you talked about with, you know, playing the deal in Des Moines, playing the deal in Kearney against a team from Denver. These are special circumstances. These are special situations. So yeah, we want to go out and compete with the best, but also let's enjoy this. Let's enjoy this. Not everybody is getting asked to do the things that we're being asked to do. And so enjoy this journey. You know, I know, when I was coaching collegiately, we had a year, you know, we had kind of that climb, and I don't think, I think if you got Mike and Jamie Sale and I all in the same room, I don't know how much, you know, that second year when we were really, really good, when we were top five in the country, I don't know how much we enjoyed that, because we were just so focused on, well, we got to win a national championship. We got to win a national championship. And that's a whole nother story for a whole nother time. But I don't know if we enjoyed that as much. And probably because we didn't enjoy it that much. And I'm not saying we didn't enjoy it. We had good times. Don't get me wrong. But just enjoying that journey. And because I you know, we weren't as probably relaxed, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to win that national championship. And we played really poorly
at the national tournament, and we ended up losing in the Sweet 16 in the country, long before even the Final Four, let alone winning a national championship, because I think we could have done a better job of enjoying the journey. So, you know, being that red letter date, embracing that challenge, I think that's also important. But just remind them, here, we are here because it's a child's game. It is joy. Let's have fun, but also let's play it with the focus of adults as well. So that would be my last tip to throw out there.
I guess I have one more. This is kind of for anybody, wherever they're ranked or wherever they're at. I mean, for us, it's you gotta keep block out the outside noise. Mm-hmm. I think that's key. You see all the stuff on social media. You hear parents, you hear friends like, oh,
love it.
You're going to be great. You're going to be all this. Like, stay focused on what you got, what you need to do, because the outside noise can be tough for you, like we talked about with the shots, and I'm not getting enough so many shots. Like, the outside noise can be a bad influence on a team. Mm-hmm. You've got to make sure everyone's honed in, has the same goal. And like we've said, it takes everybody. It doesn't take one or two people. Keep that outside noise blocked as much as possible, because there's going to be plenty from media, from anything, that you've got to make sure you keep everyone focused on the same goal as the team.
Coaches, you know just as well as I do that we're always looking for new and different ways to motivate our players and programs. But sometimes it's hard to find that perfect source that we're looking for. Over the past 25 years, I've collected hundreds of handouts to help motivate my players and programs, and now I'd like to share some of my favorites with you. The A Pen and a Napkin 101 Best Handouts booklet is now available to you for only $15. In this booklet, you'll find motivational material for all types of situations and individuals to help you communicate your values to your players and program. For ordering information, you can either DM me on Twitter or email me at apenandanapkin@gmail.com for details. Well, Casey, you know who has always had the same goal and who has been able to keep out the noise, that they've been able to block out the noise for over 40 years. Do you know who I'm talking about, Mr. Hall?
I do not.
Oh, it's Europe.
No.
That's okay. I'll forgive you. It's all right, man.
Right.
It's all right. It is time for the coaching staff trivia. Casey is the guest. I came up with the trivia question. Casey, I think it's a good question, but I think you got a great chance of getting it correct. So, are you ready, sir?
I'm as ready as I can be.
Okay. NBA season started last week. I looked at the standings today, very briefly. And I noticed that, you know, most teams are only three or four games into the schedule. And there are only three undefeated teams in the NBA as of this afternoon at about 5:00. That was Boston, Oklahoma City, which I think a lot of people expected them to be really good. And then the third one is Cleveland. The Cavaliers are off to an undefeated start. I don't know if they're 3-0 or 4-0, but they're undefeated. So that made me think. What, and here's the question for you, my friend. What is the longest undefeated streak to start a season in NBA history? What is the most consecutive games won to start a season undefeated in NBA history?
Isn't it the Bulls? Is the Bulls in their 72-10 season?
It was not the Bulls.
Wow.
But this team would be mentioned in the same breath as them.
Lakers.
It is not the Lakers. You have one guess left.
Man.
It's a lot more recent than what you think it would be.
Golden State.
Golden State Warriors in 2015-2016. Do you want to venture a guess how many games they won in a row to start that year?
18?
Higher.
Oh.
24 in a row they won.
Oh.
And I believe, I'm 99% sure I am right, that was the year that Steve Kerr had all those back troubles. And Bill Walton's kid, Luke.
Luke Walton coached him.
Yeah, he was the interim coach. And he led them to 24 consecutive victories to start the season. So you got it right. You are 1-0 in trivia, Casey.
Nice. Took me a couple guesses, but I'll take it.
Yeah, hey, we get three. So you played within the rules. We give each other a little subtle hint. So that's all right. In fact, I feel like I should do this for you.
Arby's, we have the meat.
So, who is buying you that Arby's? We had a bunch of contracts signed. And again, it's been a couple of weeks since we've been on with the coaching staff. Moses Moody, three years, $39 million. That's good. But Corey Kispert got 4 years for $54 million. That's good. But Jalen Green got 3 years at $106 million, and that's really good. But Aaron Gordon got 4 years at $133 million, and that is really good. But Jaden Johnson of the Atlanta Hawks and Jalen Suggs of the Orlando Magic got 5 years and $150 million apiece. But the man that will be buying you the Arby's for getting that trivia question correct is, do you know who signed the biggest contract right before the season started? Right before the season started. Rookie extension, Houston Rockets.
Rockets.
Alfred Shengun signed for 5 for $185 million. So when you go to your nearest Arby's out there, is there an Arby's out in Gretna?
Yeah, there is. They're off of Interstate and 370.
All right, so just tell him you're putting it on the Shengun account, and he should be able to take care of it for you.
All right, I'll send him the bill.
Oh, Casey charged another thing to me. Ah, jeez, that guy's driving me nuts. So
right,
yeah. Ah, so hey, it's now time for this.
How about that?
So a little this week in basketball. You got my text earlier, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. So you got all that. Awesome. So let's bring it home here this week. It has been, you know, with the timing of the WNBA finals and last week without Tony and I being able to record because we were both all over the place. We haven't had a chance to talk about the WNBA finals and how everything kind of fell out. Classic 5-game series. I believe 4 of the 5 games, it literally came down to the last possession, either in regulation or overtime in some way, shape, or form. A great way to polish off what may be the season that we look back on the WNBA is this was the pivot point. This was the turning point of the league. And I know Carter Plum was really excited about the results. About 10 minutes after the game got over, he FaceTimed us and he was crying and he was really, really happy. He did a couple of short pods with me, the most passionate WNBA fan that I know. Mr. Hall, kind of, it's been a couple of weeks, I know, but, you know, I want to take at least a couple of minutes to recognize. I thought it was a terrific finals series. Your opinion?
I thought it was very good. I mean, I saw more from Minnesota than I thought I would. I thought New York would kind of win that 3-1.
Yep.
Potentially sweep. Just kind of the way they played all year.
Yeah.
They were by far, I don't want to say by far, but they were the best team, I thought, all year.
Yep.
Stewie was good. Sabrina making a couple big time shots, uh-huh, as always. Besides the shooting performance from both teams from three in the in game five. It was overall pretty good. I mean, I think they combined for like 10 for 40 from three. And the game five champ and the game five, which is kind of shocking considering who some of the shooters are.
Yeah.
But man, Minnesota is a gritty team.
Yeah.
They played hard. I know their coach wasn't happy about controversial calls and kind of got on some officials there at the end.
Yeah.
But man, it was a great series. Like you said, I mean, every game was an overtime or a 5 to 6 point game, which in the NBA, I don't feel like we see that anymore.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, was it a foul
at the end? So she probably got away with the travel first.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a foul.
Yeah.
I thought she got her on the hand when she released her on the wrist. From like the replays I saw, I thought it was, but it's a tough one to call because, I mean, it's a championship game. Do you really call that to stop it? But I don't. I thought it was a foul. I've had many other people tell me that it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sticking to where I thought it was a foul.
I would agree. I think if I was the official, I would have called it as well. I guess that's the way I would have looked at it, especially in the real time of the game. You know, and I do think that overall, the league, its next step in its evolution, and we're going to talk about that here in just a minute. The next step in its evolution is they've got to do a better job with their overall officiating and the flow of the game. I think that there's the players are so. I think the players deserve more consistent officiating. That's just me.
They're 10 times better than they were 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Just the caliber of players are. It's a total different game, and that I think the refs are 2 or 3 steps behind.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're kind of calling stuff of, well, this is the way we called it 5 years ago, and we're still kind of calling it this way now. It almost feels that way. And again, hey, I've never officiated. I know how hard it is. I tried to officiate a lot from the sideline when I was coaching, but...
As we all do,
but never officially put on the black and white jersey. So I get how hard the job is. I'm not saying that. I just think that I think that we can do better. And I think both teams were frustrated with that. I thought it was a great series. You know, the classic. It's, you know, you would think New York coming home, they would be at ease, and boy, they were so tight. You know, Enescu couldn't make a shot in game five. Her and Stewart started off, you know, 2 for 206 or whatever it was. I mean, they were really, really bad. And they got some kids that, or you got some gals that stepped up there. The one guy, I forget who it was, that came off the bench that gave them really, really big minutes. She scored like 14 points. Had a great game five there, and Jonquel Jones deservedly was the series MVP. Kind of, you know, she's always been, or she has been overshadowed the last couple of years by Enescu and Stewie, and she ends up being the MVP of the finals. So I think the best team won. Tremendously impressed by Minnesota. Nafisha Collier is so good on both ends of the floor.
She was unreal all playoffs.
Yeah.
All playoffs, she was unreal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought she was just outstanding. So we have a lot to look forward to in the league for sure coming up next season.
If there's a league.
Coaches, by now you have seen the newest thing coming out of a pen and a napkin, the opening tip, Substack newsletter. I put an edition out there for free. And hopefully you see what a great investment this is going to be for you as a coach. I'm guessing it probably is, if you watch everything and listen to everything, it's going to take you almost 3 hours to get through everything on the opening tip newsletter here. What do we have in there? You've got an original article by myself here. Just thoughts, ideas on different coaching topics. Into the Lab. That's probably my favorite thing. Is the Into the Lab. It's me, another coach, and a whiteboard. And we're just drawing stuff up here. Stuff to help you out, to help you become better, and to help your team become better this coming season and beyond. Got another exclusive podcast. You heard the first one, Industriousness from the Wooden Pyramid of Success. And it's me and it's two semi-retired former girls basketball coaches, Matt Kern of York, Nebraska, Nate Wall of David City Aquinas here in Nebraska. And every newsletter, we're going to break down an aspect of Wooden's Pyramid of Success. Bookshelf recommendations from off the bookshelf, X's and O's stuff. I'm dropping in a university video. It's just going to be given to you there. You know, and I really believe in the products that I've put together. It's practical stuff that's going to help make you a better coach. And then we've got the Coach's Corner with links to clips and articles. As you saw, we had our two Olympic coaches, Steve Kerr and Cheryl Reeve. Just really, really good stuff here. And I know it's subscription-based, but goodness gracious sakes alive, as Coach Wooden would say, it is so affordable. $8 a month for two newsletters. That's $4 every newsletter. That's $2 every single week. Or you can get a year-long subscription, $75. That's 24 editions of the newsletter. That's basically $3 a newsletter. That's basically a dollar an hour if it takes you about 3 hours to get through everything that you're getting here. It could not be more affordable. It could not be more positive for you. It's going to help make you a better coach. So subscribe to the Opening Tip newsletter. Folks, you're not going to regret it. Well, let's get into that. It has been since the season ended, and since the end of the finals in the couple of weeks. Again, you know, Tony and I haven't been on. It has been pretty chaotic. The players have withdrawn from the collective bargaining agreement, and they're talking about a work stoppage potentially after next season. I think they play out next season, and then after that, that's when the work stoppage would potentially happen.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, but I think perhaps the bigger story immediately is the turnover in coaches in the league. There's 12 teams right now with a 13th coming in, and over half the league is looking for new coaches, including Stephanie White, who had a great run with Connecticut, Christy Sides, who took the Indiana Fever to the playoffs and for the first time in well over half a decade. I think it's longer than that. Kurt Miller let go after a couple of years. Teresa Witherspoon let go after a year with Chicago. Is this a good thing or a bad thing for the league, Casey?
I think it's a bad thing. Now, some of the teams that have fired coaches are younger, or have some older players and have early draft picks. Mm-hmm. Stephanie White getting fired really shocked me.
Yeah, and I didn't read the article on that. Did she get fired or did they mutually part ways?
Announced parting ways with Stephanie White.
Okay.
So that's what I've read.
Okay.
That one was the biggest shock to me.
Yeah.
Out of all the coaching firings that happened. Let me look here what I had written down. She was like 60-30 over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I think anybody would take that.
Yeah.
I know she didn't make it to the championship, but man, like, she's doing things the right way there. That was really shocking. Mm-hmm. That one. Mm-hmm. That was the biggest surprise, I thought. Yeah. But I think some of these teams, I think it's just trying to figure out what you're doing. You're trying to build off younger players that you drafted this year, like the Sparks. I mean, they were bad, but they've gone through multiple coaches the past 6 years.
Yep.
And it didn't help this year when Cameron Brink, their top draft pick, missed
tore ACL.
Yeah, missed what? You only played in five games.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it was very early in the season when she got hurt. So
that's a tough one. But I think maybe they're trying to bring someone in to help build her up. And now they're going to probably have a top five pick for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That one's kind of shocking, or not really shocking. I think the Atlanta Dream one is kind of one that is actually could be a really good job.
Yeah.
With Howard there, mm-hmm. Building off her, they've got a couple other young, good players that are coming in. But they've also, they're another organization that they've gone through organizational shifts multiple years from top to bottom, from GM to ownership to coaching. But I feel like that might be outside of the Fever and the Sun, that might be one of the better jobs out there on the table.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of these teams that are in the lower half of the league, and most of the teams in the lower half of the league, I mean, and it doesn't take long, you know, Becky Hammon's still in Las Vegas, you know, Seattle stayed steady. New York will stay steady. I'm sure Minnesota's going to stay steady. And, who am I missing? There's only 12, Marty. You should be able to figure that out.
Yeah, well, then you got Connecticut and Indiana. We're both in the playoffs.
Yeah, they were both in the playoffs, but I know I'm missing a team here. But you know, Dallas, Washington, Chicago, L.A., they want to win the ping pong ball to try and get Paige Bueckers. And they're hoping that Paige Bueckers can do for their franchise what Caitlin Clark did for Indiana.
Right.
Yeah. I don't, you never want to see any coaches let go. But at the same time, the urgency in the league to do well is in some ways a good thing. Instead of it just being kind of a participation thing or whatever. And again, all seven of these situations have seven different stories, and you and I are not privy to any of those things. I mean, you can read about things, you know, the reporters' notebooks get opened up afterwards, you know, kind of heard that with Teresa Witherspoon giving some players preferential treatment, especially it sounds like perhaps, and again, don't know, but perhaps maybe like an Angel Reese, but I think it does put an onus on the professionalism of the league and the money that is at stake. And if the money's at stake, that means that there's interest in the league, which is overall good for the league and its players and the future of professional women's basketball here in the United States and, you know, eventually North America with the team coming into Toronto in a couple of years and that type of thing. So you never want to see coaches let go, but it is kind of the nature of the beast as well. And a lot of these teams could stand pat and just kind of have it be kind of their side project, but they're taking it seriously. They want to win because they realize what can become of it when they see those sellout crowds in New York and in Minnesota and seeing that, you know, in Indiana and just everything that goes along with that. I think in that vein, the league has progressed so much in a very short amount of time.
Yes. I mean, it's going in the right direction. I mean, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese are building that. They did do that this year. I mean, on top of what Stewie and Sabrina and Asia, Kelsey Plum have done for other organizations. It's just growing more and more. I mean, being in charge of youth basketball program at Millard West for Millard West girls. I mean, for uniform tryouts or uniform fittings, I had almost every girl want number 22.
Oh yeah, you could have charged some lottery tickets for that.
I mean, you think about it. 5 years ago, would anybody know who a WNBA player is?
Yeah, yeah. They weren't asking for Maya Moore's number, or they weren't asking for or Taurasi.
Yeah. I mean, it's just everything's going in the right direction, and I think organizations are seeing that.
Yep.
Now, it stinks for people to lose a job, but they've got to get the right coach in the right situation to build a team.
Yeah, and you got to get the players.
Yes.
You got to get the players. So, speaking of players, speaking of great players,
One of the guys, you were in high school, but I was in college. Bob Hurley went back to his alma mater at Duke. And while he was at Duke, he did a lot of smacking some people around. And boy, did his Arizona State Sun Devils get smacked around by Duke the other night. I think the final was like 103-47. And you know, a tough return for Bob Hurley back to Cameron Indoor. College basketball season is closing in very quickly, Casey. I know you're a big Creighton guy, both the men and the women. And what did you think when you saw that score? What did you think of, you know, I'm sure you probably watched the Creighton men's exhibition game, that type of stuff. You know, just where's your thoughts at with the college hoops at this point here on Tuesday, October 29th?
I was really shocked to see that score with Duke and Arizona State.
Mm-hmm.
Cooper Flagg is the real deal.
He's good.
I know it may not show in the score line, stat line with points and everything, but holy buckets. That dude is going to be legit, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And Duke kind of surprised me. I mean, they had another return. A few guys had a couple transfers come in. Cooper Flagg makes some much better. They're going to be someone to mess. You don't want to mess with as the season goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Cooper Flagg staying healthy is the key.
Yeah.
For them.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't think we anticipate Cooper Flagg being at Duke for more than 6 months or so. I think that's probably pretty obvious. But in that 6 months, could he be the type of guy that could kind of quote unquote bring back college basketball a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh. It's so tough because, yes, but it's only for a year.
Yeah.
That's the tough thing. I mean, with the one and dones and people leaving, it's tough to say that it's back for good.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to bring, Caitlin played for 4 years at Iowa, but Cooper could get some eyes. People are going to want to watch him like they did Caitlin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's just, everything everybody heard from USA Basketball this summer that they were like, this guy could play for us right now.
Yep.
So, I think it's going to help. I think it's going to be tough to bring it back all the way just because he's only going to be there till April 4th or whatever.
Yeah. Well, there's a U-Haul at Cooper's dorm. I wonder what's going on.
Yeah. It's just going to be tough for him for it to come all the way back.
Yeah.
I think the entertainment that Bobby's brother Danny brings.
Yeah.
I say entertainment because he is entertaining to watch, but he's very energetic. He's a great coach. Whoever's listening, like if you go on YouTube and pull up the behind the scenes stuff that they've done with Danny Verley talking about basketball and his life and how he coaches and stuff, watch it.
Yeah.
It's very good. Like he is very hard on his players, but he's very good for his players.
Yeah.
In that saying, UConn's going to be very good again.
Yeah.
They look, I haven't seen them play, but everything I've seen from like practice highlights and anything, they look for sure like they're going to be a tough one to beat.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, we got a great game coming up next week. You know, by the time folks hear this, it'll be North Carolina at Kansas. It's just coming. I'm excited. I gotten to see a few practices. I love college basketball and I'm looking forward to it here. So, last thing, Casey, real quick. Who's up? Who's down? This is something new. And Tony, just letting you know, we're going to start doing this here. Who's up? Who's down? For me, who's up? And this can be any individual or any team, any level.
high school, college, pro. But right now it's mainly, you know, obviously we just have the pros, the men's NBA. Paolo Banchero the other night, 50-13-9 against Indiana, had 37 at halftime. Orlando has started out 3-1. Tony was a little stunned that I picked them to win their division. I think they got a chance to be really good. And thank you, Paolo and Jalen Suggs and these guys for making me look good, at least for a week or so anyway. That's my who's up. Who do you have for your who's up, Casey?
So I've got two.
Okay.
Who's up? I have Cooper Flagg as one of them because, like we said, like I think he's going to be very entertaining. I think he's going to bring some more eyes back to college basketball. And he's the real deal.
Yep.
I mean, he is for sure the real deal from everything I've seen. And the other one is Chet Holmgren.
Oh, yes. I like it.
I know it's early in the year, but first game out against the year, he had 25-14 against Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
He controlled the paint, I thought, very well against Jokic, which doesn't happen a lot. He got he finished around the rim. He looked stronger,
mm-hmm.
which I think was always one thing that was very watching him play younger a couple years ago, well, before he got hurt, I guess, and at Gonzaga. I didn't know how well he'd mature or how well the NBA game would come to him.
Yeah.
But I think it's starting to grow on him a little bit more. And I think if he can continue to play like he is, I mean, that OKC's was the number one seed in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, they were the number one seed. Yep.
I mean, I don't see why they can't do it again. The biggest thing is what's going to happen with SGA and not signing this extension.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're missing Hartenstein right now. He's out for a few weeks. Their big offseason, their other big offseason acquisition, yeah. Other than Alex Caruso. So yeah, they got a chance to be really good. I like that Holmgren pick, buddy. So, who's down for me? As much as I hate to say this, because I other than the Celtics, and this is not just a recent thing. This is a back when I was a kid thing. I always had a soft spot for this team, and I've mentioned that before on the pod. So I'm absolved a bit of my sins. Denver has started out a little bit slow. They're 1-2 now. I see. I'm just checking here right now. I'm looking up. They won tonight, but they gave up. The good thing is they scored 144 points against Brooklyn. The bad thing is they gave up 139, and they had to go to overtime to beat Brooklyn. And that's. You know, Jokic had to have 29, 18, and 16. I'm just reading this on the line right now in order to beat Brooklyn in overtime. This just isn't shaping up very well for the Nuggets, especially with the teams around them and the depth and where they have. And it's so crazy to see how quickly that, and again, we're only four games into it, but, you know, how quickly a potential window could close on a team. It's just kind of, you know, year and a half ago, you're thinking this team, you know, is destined to go 4 or 5 years of being the team to beat, and now they're kind of struggling. And they, you know, the perception is people have passed them up. So we'll let it play out. But that's my kind of who I'm a little bit down on right now.
Yeah, losing KCP hurt.
Yep.
Or trading him away, I think that was a big loss.
Yep. Yep.
I am down on Joel Embiid.
Okay. Talk to me, Goose.
I'm not a fan of the I'm not going to play back-to-back games. He actually did just get fined.
Okay.
But the team got fined today, $100K for statements not – I don't think actually saying why he's out right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's never publicly said what his issues are besides it's his knee.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he played pretty well in the Olympics, but now he hasn't really done anything. It's really disappointing to hear somebody that has the star quality that he has, Olympic gold medal, MVP, all that stuff, and not wanting to play.
Yeah.
I guess I could say Embiid and the Sixers are my two down. Yep. Right there.
Okay. A package deal on your who's down. Gotcha. Episode number 106 in the books. Casey, this was great, man. I know we're both crazy busy in a lot of different ways, but it's been great to catch up with you here tonight for well over an hour on the air and a little bit off the air, and it's just great to have you back on, my friend.
Yeah, lots of fun. Been a long time.
Yeah.
So it was really nice to get back on, and we've talked about this for probably 4 or 5 months saying we need to get back on the podcast together. It just hasn't worked, and it finally did.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate the pinch hitting. Not to disappoint you too much, but you're not going to be Lou Gehrig to Wally Pipp here. I am going to bring Tony back next week. He has earned that right to stay in the starting lineup here. So I appreciate it, man. Looking forward. I'll be out to practice, at some point here, and be catching up with you guys and just checking everything out. So, but thanks so much for filling in tonight. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks.
You bet. So, really want to thank Casey for helping out here. Want to thank Ruiz Auto, our sponsor for the coaching staff. Just great people there. We brought Carter's car in. Esmeralda literally got us in like 10 minutes. Boom, boom. Had to get a tire checked out. They got it done in like 20 minutes. Ruiz Auto Services and Exhaust. If you're looking for a new car, a new to you car, all American used cars and trucks out of 144th and I-80 here in Omaha. Check out Juan Carlos and his businesses. If you're in the auto repair, if you're in need of repairs, if you're in need of buying something new to you, go check out all American used cars and trucks. Can't thank them enough for their attention and everything they've given to a pen and a napkin. I want to thank Casey Hall. I want to thank my buddy Tony. Tony, I hope parent-teacher conferences went well for you. I want to thank everybody for listening. Coaches, as always, let's be sure to hold our craft one day at a time.